Blog Talk Radio.
Consuming, eating, deleting, ruining.
trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsy seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, 10, 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Sabali. Patience. Yeah.
Pretty Lab, Revolutionary Greetings. Welcome to another edition of Original Public Afro Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Minister Bumani Shakir. I will join with my co-host, Minister Akin Bekele. Before I bring on the guest tonight, I'd like to read a few things and also pay commemoration to the father of New Africa, Elhart Malisha Bass, Brother Omar Wiley, Malcolm X. But before I even do that, I'd like to read a couple things that we believe. The first thing we believe is that the exploitation and oppression of blacks in North America by whites in North America has entered a more vicious and visible stage. Two, blacks in North America are in a serious danger of extermination like the Native Americans, the Indians. Three, African-born in America can survive and hibernate and liberate. Africans in America can survive and liberate ourselves if we understand that our problem was created by all-white government, USA, and it is being continued by all-white government. Four, individual organizations, no matter how rich or large, can have waged a correct struggle for survival and liberation against the United States government. Five, we can only survive and liberate ourselves by becoming real black nationalists and building ourselves a nation that will be able to wage the correct struggle for our survival and liberation. Six, we should be the ones to determine our own destiny. That is known as self-determination. Seven, that we must stand ready to defend ourselves against our enemies by any means necessary. Eight, we must support all liberation struggles and the liberation in general of the African continent. Nine, the economic needs of our nation will be met and profits will be shared equally. 10, the provisional government wants all black people to help us make the Republic of Africa, the black nation, a nation that will govern black people. We will liberate black territories and free the land. I'm about to read something that's coming from the book Revolution Action Movement, Case Study of an Urban Revolutionary Movement in Western Capital Society. They were written by Baba Dr. Muhammad Ahmed, a.k.a. Maxwell Stanford, who was an original cabinet member of the Revolutionary Republic of Africa and also a member of the Revolution Action Movement along with Malcolm X. And this is entitled, Why Malcolm X Died, The Background of Malcolm's Assassination. I'm going to read some of it just to give a little insight. Brother Malcolm X became a threat to Charlie when he broke from the Nation of Islam because his statements would express the sentiment of black America and his attempt to organize a black national movement. He immediately put himself in danger by attempting to organize the black community of self-defense. He knew that our people had to be exposed to the nature of our condition and attempt to mobilize them for liberation. It's significant that the only other black man who attempted to organize black America for self-defense was ran to exile. Malcolm friendliness to young Afro-American revolutionaries fighting the power structure. It feared that this link-up would lead to a black revolution. Also, Malcolm called upon the help of all sections of the black community to formulate a solution for the African-American liberation struggle. Out of this coalition of various elements in the black community came the Organization of African-American Unity. The name was designed after the Organization of African Unity and proved to be a very significant and Brother Malcolm attempt to reestablish true meaning of Pan-Africanism. Malcolm's first trip to Africa was very significant, because it took the struggle out of the confines of the continental USA and linked it with the Bandu, non-white world, making our struggle international, the first time since the Garvey Movement. It destroyed the myth that our people are citizens, denied their rights, and that the slogan human rights, American raised the concept that we were an African captive nation, denied our right to self-determination. It should expose the USAA, Uncle Carl T. Rowan, and other Tom leaders who have gone to Africa to whitewash our struggle. During this trip, Malcolm exposed the Johnson administration in an attempt to rape Africa and showed by example of the African-American struggle how pan-Africanism could not be a meaningful force for African liberation unless it again became universal in nature rather than continental. In doing this, Brother Malcolm became a living example of Garvey's original thesis that no black person is free until all black people are free. In this way, he also showed that Du Bois was correct in the original thesis that the problem of the 21st century is the problem of the color line. When Brother Malcolm returned from Africa, he destroyed the myth that black America was alone in his struggle against the universal slave master, U.S. imperialism. He also destroyed the taboos of the African-American united with any people that the beast said wasn't cool. He emphasized how he had received wholehearted support from the Chinese ambassadors in these countries he went to. Brother Malcolm, through continuous efforts, attempted to relate the OAAU to the Southern struggle and attempt to unify the civil rights leaders with the national leaders. Also, Brother Malcolm's main emphasis was to internalize the Afro-American struggle. Internationalize the Afro-American struggle. My bad. Therefore, he decided that a second trip to Africa was necessary to further consolidate the ties of African and Afro-American unity. When Malcolm returned to Africa, he was recognized at the Cairo Conference over the second convener of the OAU. This recognition of Brother Malcolm by the African nation meant essentially that he, Malcolm, represented an African government exile. In his speech at the Cairo Conference, he exposed the nature of U.S. imperialism and forced the African country to reconsider their position of non-alignment against U.S. imperialism. His speech brought out the true role of the U.S. in Africa and where he turned U.S. dollarism, Fold Johnson, and the rest of his racist cowboys and white supremacists. The speech and the rest of Malcolm's trip destroyed, in essence, the concept of the Peace Corps, the image of every Uncle Tom leader who ever visited Africa, and forced the African-American living outside Africa to take a position on our struggle or be left in an isolated atmosphere. Malcolm created such an atmosphere in Africa that SNCC, when visiting there, had to reevaluate itself, the struggle, and SNCC had to take stand that it had refused to take before Cuba, Congo, China, Vietnam, etc. When Malcolm came back from Africa, our people recognized that a leader was developing in the community who had the potential to link up the North and South as well as the international scene. Brother Malcolm posed the same threat to the same power structure some 40 years later that Mark Garvey had done before. He, like Garvey, was threatening the power structure by attempting to create a national black national movement that would be linked up with other oppressed people of the world. In this way, our struggle will become part of an international black liberation struggle aimed against U.S. imperialism. Malcolm became more dangerous to the white power structure when he emphasized the role of the ultra-right and constantly exposed the technology and the wolf down south, and that the boundary of Mississippi ran as far as Canada. The CIA became alarmed by Malcolm's constant remarks on the house nigger lackey role that Carl T. Rowan was playing, and explained to our people how freaks, white-minded Negroes, were being used to spread lies throughout the world to keep black people enslaved. The brother constantly explained the U.S. government role in the Congo and other places. One of the major events that inflamed the CIA and its lackeys, again, what it stood for and how it came about, also how the CIA attempted to destroy it, its invitation to Brother Muhammad Babu, one of the leaders of Zanzibar Revolution, for the first time an African revolutionary had been invited to the black community of Harlem by revolutionary national leader. Brother Muhammad Babu spoke highly of Brother Malcolm, his role and relationship in the world struggle. Malcolm made a quantitative change in our struggle when he went to Selma, Alabama. Malcolm made such a tremendous impact through his exposure of the nature of imperialism that the French government denied him the right to speak before a country of African students in France. The events which were stated here led to what we call the setup, The setup was to bomb a Malcolm House and blame it on the Muslims. That dispute was set for that old colonial trick, divide and conquer. Malcolm's political significance. Malcolm was the first leader to attack the U.S. government at the cause of racism and enslavement of African people, captain nation, said Mark Garvey. Through his existence, he formed the bridge between the last generation and the present one. He articulated the views of both generations and was going in the direction of developing a program that would have consolidated both generations toward black liberation. In this context, he was Black America Lumumba. In this way, his spirit should be to black revolution and nationally what Lumumba's spirit is to the Congolese National Liberation Front. And in Congo, the word of Lumumba lives. In Black America, the word must be Malcolm lives. Keep on pushing. Change is going to come. It should be noted that Malcolm was really becoming a threat to the power structure because of his growing influence on the African Asiatic students in his country and throughout the world. In essence, Malcolm was becoming the sole block to be instrumental in destroying the State Department's pros of neocolonialism in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. By Malcolm exposing Carl T. Rowan's role in the USA, he destroyed the myth of Sly Johnson, Great Society. He also exposed the State Department tours to Africa. Brother Malcolm's trip to Africa had much to do with Brother Nasir's reputation of U.S. dollarism, where he told the U.S. to go to hell. With regard to the U.S., aid and also concerning its blatant, brutal race activities in the Congo. It caused the attacks on the U.S. government, particularly CIA, during U.S. foreign policy, particularly in Africa, and just about finished the Peace Corps. His influence in Africa was so strong that our African leader was not going to let Uncle James Farmer into Africa unless Malcolm okayed it. Due to the efforts of Malcolm in Africa, coupled with those of Robert F. Williams in Asia and Latin America, the race of U.S. government was truly pictured as the universal slave master, the Beast. Another fact that made Malcolm a threat to the U.S. government was that he organized African-Americans now living in African countries to politically support our struggle, particularly in Ghana and in the URR. Another factor that made Malcolm a threat to the FBI, CIA, and his lackey was the preparation of a document to indict the U.S. government for genocide against the African-American captive nation. This law would give the CIA reason to assassinate Brother Malcolm. Another reason for CIA's wanting to assassinate him was a growing impact on young black militants. Such an impact caused a polarization in the Southern movement, which developed a black nationalist wing in the South. Through this telegram, warning, and speeches about the far right, he helped to expose the plan the far right has and is using to take over this country. He interpreted the far right fascist plan and what it meant to black people. He helped to organize the Organization of African-American Unity, a very significant, but this is the first organization officially recognized by African governments in the UNIA of Marcus Garvey. He had the potential of becoming a black liberation front with a government in exile. In this perspective, the formation of the organization raised the issue to our people to unite up Harris. Recent events. Malcolm trip to Selma, Alabama, where the first time a black national leader had gone into the South to organize people and challenge the bourgeois reformers since the days of the legendary Marcus Garvey. It led to the unification of struggle both North and South and made Malcolm a threat to Charlie USA House Niggas program. In Selma, Brother Malcolm destroyed the myth of bourgeois democracy. His theme of balance of bullets led the youth to one conclusion. The police authorities, along with the CIA, FBI, and others, attempting to close in on the potential black revolutionary forces by creating an atmosphere of eternal threat to white American security. To present what appears to us to be a frame-up, this was done by projecting the black youth attempted to sabotage white American national shrines. This appeared to be a frame-up because they implied the other black groups were involved, and they created a fantastic story which implied that it was part of an international conspiracy involving other heads of state. The second reason is that they claimed that Robert Williams was in Canada and planned the whole conspiracy, which is, of course, absurd. A third reason is that there was an unnecessary gold finger activity to get the necessary goods to do the job. One Ebony, James Bond alias Raymond Wood, who was somehow unable to pass the simple college courses, nevertheless managed to mastermind the so-called international conspiracy led by some of the world's greatest revolutionary mentors. Need we say more? If these events were unbelievable, then the atmosphere was set for anything to happen. The setup was the bomb of Malcolm House. the white power scrolls had estimated that if one of the black forces would accuse the other, then the Beast would have created a motive for Malcolm's assassination. In this way, the Beast prepared for a week on the atmosphere for Malcolm's assassination. Also, they set it up that Muhammad could be assassinated. It would look like Malcolm Fuss would pitch against Muhammad. In this way, the Beast figures he can use the old colonial strategy, divide and conquer, nigger against nigger. With this, the Beast plan to either annihilate or discredit national leadership in black America, which will leave only house niggas, and who knows when their turn will come. Okay. The assassination. The assassination well planned and by nature was obviously alien to the black community. From reliable sources, there are indications that there were Negro agents hired killers in the audience. The assassination means that any black man who attacked the power school directly or attempt to organize our people around the truth is either assassinated, jailed, or forced to exile. But it never received Nobel Prize for Peace. The assassination showed that the white American government is anti-black. Its nature is worse than that of a beast. If it, U.S. government, is anti-black, this means it is diametrically opposed to anything we support and supports anything that we oppose. This brutal, unjust, evil assassination showed that the beast, United States government, would stop at nothing to keep our dehumanized black nation enslaved. The evil act is the beginning of what we call the domino theory, or the step-by-step destruction of the militant fighting wings of the African-American liberation struggle. And this should be acknowledged. The racist U.S. government would not stop at annihilation of black militants, but like the bloody tiger, continue to feed upon the lifeblood of our people until we are totally annihilated. In short, this is fascism. This shows that there is no such thing as bourgeois democracy. If there were, it has meant rape, castration, lynching, murder, and all forms of genocide against our oppressed, captive black nation. This shows that either black people will be destroyed or the white government will be destroyed. It is a life or death struggle. This further illustrates that we have only one alternative: unite for self-defense, warfare, now or perish. Black soul, brothers, and souls, unite or perish. Keep on pushing. Okay, that's it. Okay. That was an interesting read. Also, on the day of the assassination, Hamid Shabazz was about to present the programs of the Organization of African American Unity to the mass of the people in regard to the particular struggle that Dr. Muhammad Maxwell Stanford just talking about. I would like to this show is about New African Nation Day, and the New African Nation Day Planning Committee will be joining us. We have a few members from the 2022 New African Nation Day Planning Committee with us. I'm about to open their lines up. I see Minister Bumani. I see First Bright President Mama Ayo. I see the President Samaat, and I see Minister Zuzada. Frida Land, how y'all doing tonight?
Frida Land, how you doing, Minister Bumani?
I'm doing well, Sister President. I'm doing well. It's always a pleasure to be on this platform to share another understanding. It's always a pleasure. Free land.
Yes.
Okay. Let me get this started.
Free the land, Mama Ayo here. Happy to be on.
Free land, my Vice President. How you doing, sister?
Fine, thank you.
Free the land, Minister Asada, Minister Bomani in Birmingham. Happy to be on.
Free your land, Minister Bumani, and Minister Zada, how y'all doing?
All is well.
Okay. Yo, let's get this thing popping. You know, first off, to those who are listening, can somebody from the committee explain what exactly is New African Nation Day, what the significance of it, what it actually means to the masses of the people?
Free the land. Sure.
Free the land.
Yes. Okay. So New African Nation Day is a celebration that we do annually as a
conscious citizens of the Republic of Africa to commemorate our nation's founding, which our nation's founding was March 31st, 1968. I need to go in all of the background, but our nation's founding was March 31st, 1968. And ever since the year after that, we've been celebrating the founding of our nation. So we look forward to coming together to commemorate this coming next month, at the end of next month, 25th to 28th in Birmingham. We're looking forward.
Okay. In regards to the new African Nation Day commemoration in Birmingham, what are some of the ways people can get involved? Are they able to attend? Well, I know the understanding is able to attend physically. Are they able to attend on Zoom if they're not able to attend physically? Can people donate to the African Nation Day Planning Committee? Things of that nature. How can people get the information in regards to how to participate and join the new African Nation Day? What are the ways and methods?
Well, this event is most definitely posted on Eventbrite. So if you type in New African Nation Day on Eventbrite, the event does come up. When is the last day of early bird tickets? Mm-hmm. Today is the last day of early bird tickets. So if you are listening, you want to go on there and get your early bird registration if you plan on attending in person. And, of course, we have the ticket for the Ngoma, so that early bird ticket is still there for today. Now, for those that do not want to be traveling physically, you can attend virtually because there is a virtual ticket on Eventbrite as well.
Okay, I appreciate it. Go ahead. Okay, you mentioned Ngoma. What exactly is the Ngoma? What is that? Because the ticket for that, what exactly is that for the people who listen? What exactly is the Ngoma?
Ngoma is a community feast or celebration that we participate in on that Saturday evening after some of our main activities have already taken place. So we gather, come together to commune with one another, break bread with one another, celebrate via music, dance, song, you know, and making sure that musical vibration and those vibrations are uplifting and positive, much like how our traditional music and indigenous music have did for us before being stolen from our legacy, right? So we bring those vibrations and the musical tones and the drumming and the dance that uplifts our people on a vibrational level. That's what we do. That's celebration there.
That's quite interesting. That's quite interesting. An ancient practice. Doing the Ngoma, will people be able to participate in regards to if a person is come from another state or city, would they be able to participate in the Ngoma as bringing their musical talents or bringing their artistic talents? Would they be able to participate in the Ngoma? If so, how would they go about doing so?
Well, if anybody wants to participate, they would just have to get in touch with the number on the flyer. It's a couple of numbers on the flyer. We'll go from there because we most definitely have to make sure that whatever that is going to be presented is suitable for New African Year, let me put it like that. That's going in the direction that we're moving in, that we want our people to move in. So most definitely, we welcome people that may want to perform or express themselves, yet it's a particular way.
Okay.
That's understandable.
That's understandable and appreciated. Will there be any options for people to vent during those particular days? If it be one day or people ready to vent all day, will there be any options for people to vent during those days? If so, how would they go about doing so?
Cleveland. This is Mama Ayo. There are a few numbers on the flyer that's been put out, and one of them, of course, is our Minister Bomani's number. And Sister Cezada, they are going to be definitely encouraging local vendors. It's in Birmingham. There should be some local vendors that want to participate in New African Nation Day. And if there's anyone else who's coming into the face-to-face meeting, they can get in touch with Minister Bomani as well, because we're all on the committee. We're keeping up with all the requests, all the questions, so on and so forth, knowing which people to refer them to for more clarity. So, yes, there is vending activity, and there is a vendor's contract, of course. It's reasonable. You can vend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or one day or 2 days, so it's open. But the vending, anyone who wants to vend needs to get in touch with the number on the flyer for the Bomani.
Okay. I understand it's a 3-day event. What are some of the activities or workshops or events that people should be looking forward to experiencing while they're there during New African Nation Day? What is it? What are the itinerary? What did the itinerary agenda look like during those days?
Minister Cezada, do you want to tell them what's going to happen on Friday? We can move on from there.
Free the land. My apologies. Can you repeat the question, comrade?
Oh, okay. I said, what are some of the activities, events taking place over 3 days that people can expect to engage into during the application during those 3 days? What does a 3-day itinerary look like? What will be going on exactly?
So Friday, we'll be doing our registrations, getting everybody in, making sure they have their tickets and everything in order. I'm definitely looking forward to Saturday. Like I said, this is our first in-person Nation Day. Due to COVID, we haven't been able to be in person. So the Ngoma, I'm definitely excited about that. The performers, the spiritual hour, the Watoto, all of the creativity and in-gathering, similar to the Karamu for Kwanzaa. Excited about that. And then Sunday, we'll be wrapping up, making sure everybody, got the information that they need, documents, everything like that, making sure we understand them and kind of, like I said, go in our separate ways. But like I said, those 3 days are definitely in gathering. If you're not coming to the all 3-day event, you can buy a ticket just for the Ngoma. Again, if you can't show up, like we said, please donate whatever you can. We appreciate it. If you have anything to donate for the children's activities as of now, please contact myself or Minister Bomani. On Facebook, I'm Zaza Shakur, Z-S-A, space Z-S-A, space S-H-A-K-U-R. So you can definitely get in contact with us. Vending, if you want to vend, get in contact with us. Looking forward to that. We have so many awesome local vendors here in Birmingham. I know they'll be excited to do the 3 days. But that's what we should be expecting for Nation Day.
Okay. So Friday going to be the meet and greet, right? What typically happens during a meet and greet? What it typically consists of for the people who are listening? What should the people expect during a meet and greet? What are some of the things to look forward to, or some of the things that are going to be discussed, or the activity was going to be expressed or experienced during that time?
Yes.
Free the land. I yield, Mama.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Sister Cezada.
I was going to ask one of the vets to explain that there.
Okay. So meeting and greeting the Birmingham citizens of the Republic of New Africa, which is a certified district. It is the first time that we're coming into the national territory in Birmingham, so that it's like a historic meeting in itself. But this is our opportunity to meet some of the advocates, activists, grassroots elders, the children, to come on out, introduce ourselves as a nation, help them remember, you know, talk to our comrade brothers and sisters about the nature of citizenship, you know, why we are, we have the historical, international, moral, legal rights to declare ourselves who we are, encourage them to sign up, encourage them to have a courageous conversation about the conditions of the conditions on where they live and how we should be navigating through as a nation, you know, those things, and introduce the children into remembrance, and also, you know, have the opportunity for the children to see us and to ask questions, to engage. A fun day, kind of festive. Vendors will be outside if weather permits. A couple of food trucks will be around, and there'll be music, and there'll be dialogue, and there'll be just, you know, showing who we are as a nation, that, you know, we believe in the spirituality, humanity, and genius of Black people, and in our renewed pursuit of these values, and just making sure that those are a reflection of what we do when we meet our citizens from the Republic of New Africa. I yield.
Okay. I have like a two-part question in regards to that. What exactly is a conscious African citizen? And during that meet and greet, are people able to declare their citizenship? And also, are people able to register at that time for New African Nation Day while they're there during the meet and greet?
That's a good question as well. Yes, that will probably be the last day to register, because we do need to prepare for the Ngoma. However, there is on site on Saturday morning, so, you know, we will figure it out. We'll make it work. Citizenship for the Republic of New Africa for the government is that every person of African descent is a citizen if they choose to be. Conscious citizenship means that you literally believe in the righteousness of this struggle. You believe in that we have the right, the human right, the international right, the Geneva Convention right, any kind of right to declare ourselves free, independent, we're calling for self-determination, reparations, and, you know, just believe in the victory of this struggle. But conscious citizenship comes with responsibility. You're getting ready to do the work. You're getting ready to find out who we are as a nation, how you establish yourself in unit study, work study, and training modes, how you are supposed to be a citizen, to pay taxes, register, and actually build each and every city in our national territory, preparing ourselves for land independence and nationhood. That's just becomes like a lifestyle.
Okay.
Mission. We are able, brothers and sisters have the right to stay in a nation that oppresses them, murders them, uses them for experimentation every day, tries to make them believe that they are the wretched of the earth, or you can build a nation that's going to take our historical reality into consideration and create a better society than we've ever known through the total opposite of capitalism, imperialism, white supremacy, and racism. What that looked like, that's what New Africa is going to be evolving, building, and implementing.
Okay. That's a lot for people. That's a lot to grasp while people listen. That's a lot to grasp, right? But it makes a whole lot of sense in regards to the particular movement, especially in regards to what I was just talking about. Well, just reading that Dr. Muhammad Abdul about the Captive Nation, and how the beast expresses itself, how it attacks us, and how it doesn't want us to be independent, and the different rules that it utilizes to capitalize and capitalize on our weakness and attack us and destroy us and, you know, things of that nature, right? So that's a very informative thought that you just expressed. and go out to the masses and watch the people. You know,
comrade, I wanted to, you know, thank you for that. You know, it's really like a remembrance for Brother Malcolm, and I think that, you know, we needed to hear and to remember and to remind ourselves that we are standing on his shoulders. The legacies in which we are trying to fulfill was initiated by Brother Malcolm and all the people around him, Mama Betty Shabazz and everybody else who bought into his vision of who we are and what we're supposed to be as people. And you can kill the messenger, but you cannot kill the message. So the message was taken up by many. The message was taken up and the charge and the call to build the society the way we need to do it. And I think it led to, you know, the brothers Gaidi and Obadelis and, of course, Amari and everyone else that was around them, the Queen Mother Moors, the Betty Shabazz, all the people you named, and then some, to take up the mantle. And so, yes, this is our new African New Year today. We say 57 ADM. Of course, there's a little controversy as to the date, but if you say he was assassinated in 1965, you put the date in today, yes, it's been 57 years since his assassination. However, the calculations, I leave that to the math people. I'm just telling our audience, I'm going to tell our audience what was told to me. That we celebrate our new African New Year on the death of Malcolm. So, you know, we're honored, and like I said, that the piece that you read was very informative and like a remembrance. So I think that we're in alignment because we believe in the Malcolm X doctrine, that we will organize on the land, we will hold a plebiscite, we will tell the world by vote that our land is free and independent. And then after the vote, we must stand ready to defend ourselves, establishing the nation beyond contradiction. That's what this process is. That is the process that we go through. We ask you to become a conscious citizen is to that end, to hold that plebiscite, declare ourselves the nation, and begin to build or continue to build a nation because we're still building. We're building. All of us are nation builders. The question is, whose nation are you going to build? Are you finna build capitalism, white supremacy, neocolonialism, or are you going to get ready to build our nation?
Yes, ma'am. Like Baba Doc, I'm about to say, you're going to build a nation, or you're going to be with Charlie? You're going to be with Charlie. Yes, ma'am. I understand on Saturday, you got certain events like the, they're going to be sending around, the aspects of the elders speaking about history, new African, the foundation of the family, right? Why is that so significant? That the new African family, the foundation, why is that so significant? What did that actually mean? You know, when people hear that new African family, foundation of a nation, what did that actually mean?
Free the land, Minister Asada. Can y'all hear me? Okay.
Oh. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, so as far, well, let me just hit on first what Mama Ayo just said. Yes, Minister Bomani Shakur, thank you for sharing that very imperative and foundational information about Baba Malcolm X. That was very, very important. And also with the new African citizenship, you know, like you said, it can be overwhelming when people are just hearing it, especially not in person, but at the same time, it should be easy because we've been helping build the U.S. of A since the day we were born. So all we have to do is just get rid of one capitalistic thing and bring in some socialism, you know, get rid of one thing and bring in another. So I think people get the gist of that. Also, the elders, I absolutely loved the elders speaking last year. It was very, very captivating. A lot of times we need to understand, too, that a lot of these stories are very painful for our elders. So it's very important that we give them our full attention because they're reliving these memories that, you know, a lot of these memories are not so great, especially when we're trying to fight for the new African independence movement. So I would love for everybody to definitely sit for that. Our children need to hear it. The middle age need to hear it. And some of our elders do as well. Definitely looking forward to that. But like I said, if you cannot come to all three events, please, Saturday. I mean, that's all the goodies, you know. So everybody's going to be together, like I said, in gathering and learning together. Our elders are our, you know, they're our pinnacle, and the children are the future. So we have to be in all one room together in order for this thing to work circular like it's been doing. So I yield there.
Sure, indeed. I have a question in regards to that. You mentioned the youth, the children. What exactly are the children going to be doing while they're taking place? Is it going to be activity for the children? They're going to have a different learning environment? They're going to be in the same environment, or it's going to be a separate environment for the children? What's going to be going on with the children for the people who bring children with them? How would it be to participate or get engaged or be involved in the conference or the activities?
Mama Ayo, again, Sister Zada and Brother Bomani are our boots on the ground. We have we're putting together a nice little program, a shule, for our Watoto, and they, of course, it will be African centered, and they have the opportunity to, you know, have all modalities, learn a little something, participate in what we call group cooperation. Exercises, begin to know the meaning of the flag, a few of the creed, and then of course be very creative in some of the tasks that they're given. Some of them might want to say something. Some of them might want to recite.
You know what? I was on mute that whole time.
I
said some good stuff too.
Thank you. So as I said, to Cazada. Brother Bomani are on the line. They'll take over. Are you?
Yes. The children.
Yeah, I ain't hear nothing.
Right. Look, that happened to you last week. You understand, brother.
Yeah,
so
I understand.
With the children again, we're going to be all hands on deck. Everybody, like I said, like we already do right now at the Presa Cultural Community Center. Like I said, when you walk in there, you're definitely at home. Brother Anthony and his wife, Sister Erin, they are having some great, great creativity things going on for the kids. Also, like I said, our parents from our homeschool collective are going to be there as well, so we could be cycling in and out. Like I said, we don't want one person to be stuck with any one job. That's what Nation is about. We have to definitely rotate out so everybody can enjoy the event at the same time. And I yield.
Okay. Yes, I appreciate
that. That's real cool, as well as the parents. The parents will have to donate a little bit of time on these days that the shule is open for the children. So we're looking forward. We think it's good. I think children need to see and be able to recall in their memory. My mama and daddy went to some meeting, and they were talking about the flag, and they were talking about this, and this is what we learned, and hopefully there will be some follow through because, you know, children bear witness. I remember, you know, people tell us all the time, I was such and such an age, and I remember going to that. They don't forget. They don't forget, so it's important.
You're right about that. But don't forget. They're like elephants. Don't forget that. Yeah, this is very informative. You know, it sounds like a real beautiful event, very culturally embracing, very fulfilling, very rich in information. It seemed to be a very energetic environment to give people energy to uplift themselves, and, you know, uplifting environment. That's the way it seemed in regards to the activities. Everything sounds very, very exciting, you know. That based on my question, I'm going to pass it on to Minister Akin. So he can entertain some questions and probably open the lines up for that. Minister Akin, it's on you, brother. Free to land.
Free to land. Brothers and sisters, how you all doing tonight?
I am, I will.
All is well, comrade.
All right, all right. Yeah, the brother puts me on the spot like this. He asks all the good questions and then tries to get me to come behind him and try to ask something else that he didn't remember to ask. But I'll do my best. So I guess my question to you all is, and each of you all, please feel free to elaborate. What does Nation Day mean to you? You know, we hear a lot about the historical prevalence of Nation Day. What is the goals are, things of that nature. But to you individually, what does Nation Day mean to you, and why do you participate in it year after year? You know that you've been a part of the nation. What does it mean to you individually? Anybody can start.
Frieda Lynn, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yes. For me personally, Nation Day is just an extremely important time, not only to celebrate our nation's founding, but to be extremely intentional to come together collectively, because this is the time where all new Africans, conscious new African citizens, and just new Africans in general can come together intentionally, saying with one heart, one mind, look, these are our goals, these are our objectives. We want land, we want independence, we want self-determination, we want reparation. This is the time to have a meeting of the mind face-to-face, to be able to see each other's expressions, be able to, because a lot of times we're just on the phone, specifically those of us that are far away from each other, but this is a time to commune. This is a time to be extremely intentional on the plans and goals that are on the table, because at the end of the day, you know, yes, it's a commemoration, but yet we have not reached our goals yet. You know what I'm saying? So it's a great time for us to come together and unify on multiple levels that we were not able to do far away, you know? And I yield.
Please land.
I am, I will.
Mama Ayo, so definitely New African Nation Day is a time for me, remembrance, the connection with new Africans, to check in and see if the things that we're facing in our communities and our units in our cities reflect the level of struggle that we're all facing, and being able to come and have a good heart, you know, good vision for making sure that we still are communing together, making sure that we're talking, making sure that we're implementing the goals and objectives, making sure especially new Africans who are part of the liberation movement, the African independence movement. It doesn't matter if you're about land, separation, independence, reparations. This is the time to come and gather and to rebuild. I think that we are checking in. Our strategy and tactics remain the same. We're still on the 8 strategic elements. That's the foundation of our strategy and tactics. We're here to check in and to give each other a good energy and more strategies in which to implement and point out, here's some things we need to be working on, here's some things that must happen. So New African Nation Day has great potential. And at the same time, we'll see who we are. Let the people see that this is what we are doing, and we need all hands on deck in one fashion or another. I yield.
All right. All right. Thank you for that, Mama Ayo.
Through the land is Brother Bomani here, Minister Bomani here in Birmingham. I just want to say a little bit what Nation Day means to me. It's my yearly declaration that I am still in the fight for freedom, right? I'm still in the fight for self-determination. I'm still in the fight for sovereignty. So that's one of the main things it means, and to just to be able to end gather with our other comrades and our other our family across the nation is a bonus. But it's my yearly declaration that I am in the fight. I am a new African, and we will continue the road to freedom. I yield there.
Good deal, brother. Good deal. Appreciate that. Last but certainly not least, Sister Zada. Okay, well, I probably got technical difficulties. Well, thank you all for that. I appreciate that, giving that insight as to what it means to you. Just a couple more questions that I had. So we talked about what was going on for Friday and Saturday, but as it was mentioned, I'm sorry. Okay, but as it was mentioned, this is a 3-day event. So can anyone shed insight as to what's that third day going to look like? What's going to be happening on the third day, that Sunday? What can those people expect to see, or what kind of events will be on that Sunday?
See the land. Sunday, we will have definitely more presentations, definitely a few more speakers. Start the morning off, of course, with libation and the reciting of the creed. We're going to move into addressing a historical document, which is the preamble and our Declaration of Independence, kind of talking about that process, how it came to be, the people that were there, have a few people speak on it. We have a couple of presenters that are coming up towards the early afternoon, and that, of course, is there may be, of course, a presentation by Baba Sunni Ali, and he will be presenting a paper from Jalil Mutakim. And, of course, there's a few other people trying to get on the agenda, and we're going to have to talk about that as a committee. We're going to be speaking about New Africa and the cyber world. Going to have, of course, a nice lunch break, and then come back and talk about what went well, what did not go well with the conference, and then some of our forward movements going forward. So those are some of the things that will happen on Sunday. So, you know, it's still going to be 2 days of intense, you know, reasoning together, talking together, clarifying ourselves, because this is the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. We are very clear, very, very clear about our mission, our purpose, the aims of the revolution, and what we're trying to do as we rebuild in this process. So it's just a check-in with all the other comrade brothers and sisters, and, you know, making sure that we are in alignment with what we want to do, how we want to proceed, you know, on all levels and through all of the different ministries that we have as a provisional government. So it's just, it's going to be like a very holistic interaction. Very holistic. I yield.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I guess one other question that I had, as it was mentioned earlier, this will be the first face-to-face Nation Day event since, you know, the pandemic happened or whatnot. How is the Nation Day Planning Committee looking to, accommodate those New African citizens who may be worried about, you know, COVID and things of that nature? What type of precautions, if any, will there be in place? And, you know, just how are you all going to handle that from a New African perspective, and making sure that the New Africans who do attend are kept as safe as possible?
Free the land, Minister Zada. We will be doing exactly what we're doing now because we do have a lot of traffic in and out of the Crescent Cultural Community Center here, so many events and different programs and things like that. So we will have sanitizer and thermometers at each entrance as well as throughout the venue. We will have masks and anything else that anyone, you know, 6 feet, all of that stuff. Like I said, we already have to adhere to that because we do have a lot of children there and a lot of people just in and out doing business. So we'll be doing exactly as we do now and just following all COVID guidelines. So everybody will be safe and be able to enjoy Nation Day. I yield.
All right. All right. That sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah, I guess, Brother Bomani, I hand it back over to you. That was pretty much all the questions that I had. Again, I'd like just to thank everyone on the New African Nation Day Planning Committee for joining the show tonight. And we look forward to partaking in this great event coming up at the end of next month in March. Free the land.
Thank you. I am. I will.
Okay. Free land. I appreciate it, Minister Akin. I wanted to add something in regards to what Mama Aya was saying. The presentation by Bob Valad is going to be the presentation in regards to Iman Jamia Alameen, building the community of self-determination in Whitehall, which is known as Lowndes County, just for correction purposes. And also, I have a question. And also, you have a question, a statement that Chris Wine brought up to the queue. In regards to New African Nation Day, is there going to be any kind of propaganda, leaflet, signs, anything being distributed to the people while they're there in regards to learning more about the bridge? Do you have something they can take with them that's tangible or physical to take with them when they leave or something they can take with them to their particular district or area or state? You know, how to spread the propagation. Is it going to be anything like that? They are present for people to gather or any kind of aspect of people buying any kind of books or literature or anything else that might be for sale, anything of that nature. And also, will it be like a place for people that they wanted to donate right now on the scene? And I yield.
Yes, be the land. There definitely is going to be an information table, and we will have, of course, some flags from the Republic of New Africa. We have been gifted a few of the rebuild, I think it's quarterly, newspapers, and we will have a lot of information about the Republic of New Africa. There will be some booklets, what we call study materials, to be utilized to take. And, of course, have purchased. We will have copies of the Code of Umoja. We'll have copies of just so many things. And there's some historical documents that will be put on display for sale. So it's going to be quite an interesting mix of materials, definitely. So we're excited about that. You know, we want people to know why we say free the land. We want people to know why we call ourselves New Africans. We want people to have copies of our New African Creed. We want a lot of good things, the New African Oath. We want people to know why we have our flag a certain way, because we do. We are Garveyites and Malcolmites. And, yes, the red, black, and green ties us to what we call the New African Independence Movement. However, we want citizens to know why the Republic of New Africa has the green, red, and black and the significance of that. So those are the kind of pieces of information that will be available. And of course, all of us who are in the provisional government to answer questions, encourage New Africans to sign, to come to the website, to actually put your names, be able to register, create your login, and to, of course, pay taxes. Yes, there's going to be a lot of conversation about, you know, if you're going to have a Nation the people have to pay taxes. What's the nature of how we would love for you to donate or participate or to be intentional? Because some of our new Africans, they don't have time to study and to do the work, but they can participate in other ways. They can sponsor some of our initiatives. They can pay yearly dues or monthly dues. So all of that kind of conversation is going to be going on, which I think is going to be a beautiful thing. We're excited. How are you?
Okay, that's appreciated. I have a question, this question for everybody. Where made you decide to be a country of Africa? The question for everybody. Yeah, go ahead.
Ministers, oh, go ahead. I yield.
I was about to say, I can yield.
Please.
Well, I like this question. I literally became a conscious citizen of the Republic of New Africa because the goals and objectives of the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa were very similar to the goals and objectives that I had, that I wanted to do with my life. You know what I'm saying? I was tired of seeing the condition of my people from a very, very, extremely, very young age. So when I ran into and was introduced to the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa via going through training, you know, I 100% gravitated to it because it was 100% in alignment with what I wanted for my people. It was the answer to all of our needs based upon the condition that we live upon, up under, you know. So it was just a natural yes. Yes, and as I was learning more and more and more, it was just, for me, the perfect fit in terms of my purpose on the planet, which is as a liberator, right, and as a healer of our people, because, you know, we can't truly heal from all the things that ail us physically, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, socially, et cetera, right, if we don't get to the root of what's causing those issues. And we know particular system that we live up under and that we have been at war with is the cause of our problem. And our birthright is freedom. Our birthright is liberation. That's our birthright. So as a freedom fighter, as a liberator, it was the perfect fit for me. And I yield back.
Brother Black Cloud, are you on?
Yeah, Free the Land, I'm on.
Okay. He asked the question. Why did you become? Yeah,
Free the Land, yeah. Yeah, so the question was why I decided to become a new African?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as far as me, yeah, this is Brother Black Cloud from the Joseph Caleb District, north side of Miami. Representatives. Well, first of all, I think it was 2008, you know, 2009, when I bumped into, you know, Brother Fahim, and he was telling me about it. And at the end of the day, I don't know a lot of the codes and all that, but I know that we cannot stay around these crackers, you know what I'm saying? Like, we cannot stay around these people, you know what I'm saying? So, and then me, as being like who I am, I like to put down up, you know what I'm saying? I want 5 states. I like stuff like that. So at the end of the day, just knowing that we cannot stay around these people, then all the bloodshed that we shed in Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama, you understand what I'm saying? That's old to us, plus most states, but it's fine for right now. But that's the reason that I, you know, decided to be a new African. And then it's been so long, like from coming from Africa over there, you know, all the, you know, the slave ships and all that there, that we got our own new culture, so, and our own new type of vibe, so we are new African, you know what I'm saying? I like that. But the whole point why I became a new African is because we cannot stay around these people we must be away from these people, these goddamn devils. You know, we must have our own five states, our own land to build and teach and police, all that. I get excited, I stutter a little bit. But just to get away from these people, you know what I'm saying? Like to have our own, you know what I'm saying? And nation build and build our own and stay very, you know what I'm saying? And be ready to pretend and defend that land too. You know, so that's where the military come in at. But I yield for right. That was a kind of hectic question. I yield for that. Yeah, free the land.
Free the land. Mama Io. I wanted to, I think it's just it's for me to become a new African, it's like a natural progression. It is, for me, it was part of a journey that I've been on a very long time, because I initially focused most of my my energies and my training and my learning, trying to make sure that we have a Pan-African perspective. And I think coming or returning back to America, it just brought home to me that there has to be on all levels, on all nationalist sentiments, and making sure that we are understanding that we have to have a Pan-African nationalist agenda on all things that we do, because Bobby says, or at least in Kuma, nobody's free until everybody's free. We are all in alignment. We're all facing the same system. We're all facing the same, we call it same. The same thing is happening. It's got a slightly different look because of the land mass you're on, but it's still the same system. So we have to be intentional in what we're supposed to do. And I like the program. I like once we begin to study the founding documents, because you have if your politics don't guide your actions, and your actions are not guided by your political awareness, this is what we have right now. We have a lot of people who know something's wrong, but have misdiagnosed how to solve the problem. The problem is not to kill one another. The problem is we must serve, defend, protect. So at some point, our actions are saying we're going to be a part of the nation that suppresses us, kills us, experiments on us. We'll send our children's children's children into an enslavement of the mind, body, soul, culture, marriage, whatever. Or we're going to build, we're going to take all of our energies and begin to rebuild the nation. So I like that kind of program, particularly when the deeper you go, the more you know the sacrifices, the revealings of all the plans of actions that never got a chance to be implemented. Yeah, that's why I became a new African, because I say we're supposed to be getting rid of a worldwide system. We do our part. That's what we call coordinated strike. I yield.
Okay. Ms. Bumani and Ms. Azada, y'all thoughts?
Free the land. I'm going to be brief. What being a new African means to me and why I decided to do so. Firstly, my husband, Bomani Ture, he told me about the documents years ago. This was over 19 years ago. But mostly I saw the spark come back to him as a black and melanated man in this society, which we know has been taken from a lot of our, a lot of our black men here in this society. But also, as President Sama'a said and Brother Black Cloud, it aligns with all of our principles anyway. And also, it's not an organization. It's a government or even an organism, but it's definitely not an organization. So we kind of got tired of doing that part and just having our own government. Like we said, we got to get away from these white folks. We have to. by any means necessary. And we cannot heal ourselves. We're in the same place where we got sick at. So we definitely have to do our due diligence. Like I said, all hands on deck, and we have to support one another in all of our new African endeavors, definitely. So I yield there.
Okay, I appreciate it, Brother Bumana. I have a call. I'm going to open line for a call. Oh, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I was going to pass on this one. I'm busy right now, so I apologize.
Okay, it's all good. I'm going to open my line up for a caller. 901-239. Your line is open. You have any questions, comments, or statements, or announcements? Please do so this time. Your line is open. 901-239. Your line is open. Go ahead.
This is Brother Omar Baruti in Memphis, Tennessee. I was given an invitation to tune in, and I'm glad I tuned in. No questions. It's good information.
Okay, I appreciate it, Conrad. Appreciate you calling in, joining the broadcast. Free the land.
Yes, sir.
One last question, and it's also a request as well. I understand that everybody on this line has an African name. Can everybody individually tell what the African name means, and also leave it with your final thoughts as well while you're performing doing so? Yeah. That's my humble request.
Yeah, see the line.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I ain't necessarily got an African name, but it was like my name was given to me by one of my cousins. You know, he passed away. I shake to him, but it was Black Cloud. You know what I'm saying? When you break it down, and I think that's yeah. Anyway, it's you know, I think that's Swahili. It's pronounced in Yisi Wingo. You know what I'm saying? And my cousin gave me that name, Black Cloud, because back in the 80s and the 90s, you know what I'm saying? I was listening to Farrakhan, you know, all them type of different things. Whenever I come around, they be like, damn, you finna rain on our parade, because, you know, I'm going to come talking about how Christmas for pedophiles, you know, all that Valentine's Day, F, all that, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I got my name. But in Swahili, if I ain't mistaken, it's in Yisi Wingo, and that's Black Cloud, you know what I'm saying? Thunderstorm, so. A year. Bless it.
Bless it. Bless.
Okay. You don't have any final thoughts, Black Cloud?
What, final thoughts on Nation's Day?
Yeah. And the final thoughts you want to leave it with on their broadcast. If it be Nation Day, if it be life, whatever final thoughts you want to leave it with, period.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, to everybody out there that's listening, to the whole world that's listening, and to all the new Africans out there, you know what I'm saying? We've got to continue putting that work in and, like, really getting out here in these different neighborhoods in the trenches and, like, really talking to our people. Like, for example, I talked to a youngster earlier today, and I was talking about, like, reparations. And the brother had to be, like, 16, 17. He didn't know what that was, never heard of. So we really got to get out. You know, we really got to get out here and let people know about the RNA, especially like the pgRNA. Because I'm gonna be real with you, I peep all the Umars and the SETIs and all these different people, and don't nobody talk about the RNA and Queen Mother Moore and Dr. Obadeli. That's another reason I got involved with the RNA too, because I didn't peep it. They'll talk about everybody from the Black Liberation Army to the Panthers, everybody. But it's like it's some type of secret or something. You know, when it's time to deal with Republican New Africa, and I didn't call them out on it, and don't everybody get quiet when I say RNA. They get real quiet. You know, so I just advise all of us, talk to your neighbors. Like, I stay down here in Miami. I talk to my neighbors about it. Yeah, they might not get on no phone calls. Yeah, they might not come out to the meeting and, you know, and do things, but they still know about it. I give them flyers, and I talk to them about it. I talk to my family about it. Talk to your peoples about it. Like, the Republican New Africa, so, like, it won't be no big secret to them. But for some type of reason, you know, in the black community, in the so-called conscious community, the PGRNA is some type of secret, and people get real schizophrenic and nervous every time I bring it up. Don't nobody want to talk about it. So I want to say I say to Queen Mother Moore, Robert Williams, Dr. Obadeli, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody.
Yeah, and his brother, and Betty Shabazz. And I, okay. Yeah, I yield at that, but feed the line.
I am, I will. Yes, this is Mama. This is Mama Ayo. Ayodele, of course, yeah, means happiness has come home. I was given that name by some of my brothers from Nigeria. Of course, it's a Yoruba name. I yield with that. I was born on Sunday, so of course I'm an Akosua. So those are some of the names that I walk with. My final words would be, come comrades, let's gather in Birmingham. Let's, you know, meet heart to heart, same mission. Show the world. Show the world who we are and what we are, and that we have still persevered, that we are still a part of the protracted struggle that is going to take to free the land. And with that, I yield.
Free the land. This is Minister Zosada. My name was given to me by my husband. Zaza is a play on my government middle name, which I am not going to tell anyone tonight. But also, Asada, he sees a lot of similarities in our personalities. I can be very fiery, even when she was in school and teaching the kids at the community center. Just a lot of things that happened in her lifetime, you know, I can relate to it. But Asada means she who struggles. Again, we're still in the struggle, you know, and I am grateful that I'm able to be here, you know, that I'm able to fight along the ancestors that set the foundation for us. And Shakur means thankful one. And I am definitely that, very thankful, like I said, to be able to be a new African citizen in formation with the rest of my comrades. And my final thoughts are, I just want everybody, if you can, whether you're out of state, whether you can't attend in person, please support New African Nation Day. It is extremely important for all levels, the children, the middle-aged, the elders. Again, you can reach me on Facebook, ZSA space Shakur, for any questions. Again, we're going to have it here in Birmingham, so we are the foot soldiers on the ground here. But again, yes, let's enjoy Nation Day, and everybody join in. I yield.
Free the land, Sama'at. I just want to remind everybody that, you know, this is a extremely righteous struggle. This is righteous in terms of what it is that we want to do. This is righteous. We have to do this for our ancestors. We have to do this for ourselves. We have to do this for our children's 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 children, so that tomorrow won't look like today, you know, because we cannot continue like this. We have the brilliance. We have the capabilities of stepping 100% completely out of this box, and we need to do that self-work, because we have been through a lot of trauma, and a lot of our traumas, our hurts, our pain from this particular system on every single level is really, when the elders say struggle, that's the struggle, getting through that, being able to work through that. So I challenge all of us to work through those personal things that keep us from reaching our ultimate goal, you know, and that's just coming from my heart to yours, you know, and vice versa. We have to do that self-work so that we can catapult forward. So we invite everybody out to come commune with us, bond, necessary. We are each other's resources, you know, and we have to implement that. And the time is now. And there's no, this is our time. We have to ride this way.
You still there, President? You still there? You fell off?
I said I yield.
Okay. I want to say, what does your name mean? You didn't say what your name mean.
Oh, okay. My apologies. My full name is Sa'ankh Sama'at for short. But my full name is Daughter of Light with a Beautiful Disposition Seeks and Finds Life and Balance for Humanity.
Okay, I appreciate that. Brother Bumani, you there or are you still busy in regards to your name and your final thoughts? Or are you busy?
Free of land. He had to step out, comrade.
Okay. I appreciate it. Minister Akin, what are your final thoughts and what is your name? Man?
Free of land. My final thoughts are, it's always good to hear other brothers and sisters who are continuously doing the work of New African independence and struggle for liberation in our lifetime. Because we always have to keep in mind that we want to strive for it in our lifetime. Yes, the groundwork has been laid, but we definitely want to try to struggle and celebrate those who come before us. And as it was said, stand on their shoulders and get to those new and higher heights. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that's on the call tonight, and thank you to everyone who will come out and support the New African Nation Day, because we are striving for something that's going to be bigger than us one of these days. My name, Jawara Akin Bekele, stands for Peaceful Warrior Who Has Come Into His Own. I just again want to say thank you all for participating in the show tonight. How are you?
Okay, I appreciate that. Free land. My name is Bumani Hughes Yahashkin, mean Mighty Warrior, Freedom and Struggle, who are thankful for God. And my final thoughts is, let's all unite or perish, like Baba Dr. Muhammad Atma, I say unite or perish. If you're looking for any information or propagation, look into our website at www.pg-rna.com. You also find on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And also that, we got to realize what the enemy is and how the enemy presents itself and how to avoid all these situations and how to combat it. And the best way to combat any of the chaos and adversity is unite. With that, I'm going to say the struggle for land and freedom. Peace.
I say. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
No doubt. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank y'all. Long live the African Independent Movement. Long live the African Independent Movement.
Yes, I am. I will, by any means necessary.
Uh-huh. We will win the war.
True indeed. Okay.